Seek in the Lord's help, will you turn with me for a little to the book of Psalms. To the book of Psalms and Psalm 127. The book of Psalms and Psalm 127. The first verse. Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Man tog I ho a fainte. Except the Lord build a house, they labour in vain that build it. Now we have, or we read together, we read the final section, the end section of the Sermon on the Mount. Such a sermon was never preached before and probably never will. And the Lord winds up his sermon by setting before us two ways, a wide way and a narrow way. And which way of these two are we on? And then he tells of two trees, one bearing good fruit, the other corrupt fruit. And he asks us to examine ourselves, examine our lives, and see if our lives have changed. And then we have him referring to two houses that tell us that no amount of human sacrifice, no amount of human toil can accomplish much without the Lord's blessing on the house. That it stands, if it is to stand the storms of life, and also to stand the final judgment. Except, we are told there, the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Now, the building of houses we have, they're all to some degree familiar with. Sometimes in the Bible, it is used to denote several things. Solomon, for example, was the builder of a temple, a place of worship, a place for the worship of the Lord in Israel, the house of God. But we remember that the Lord is also building, using his own people and building a spiritual temple. And they are living stones in his great edifice. In another sense, we read of Moses, who was found faithful in all his house. Again, we are told in 2 Samuel of David, of whom it was who could say this, although my house is not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. And that kind of house we are all building. And all of us are engaged in that. And I want to look for a little this evening at the building and some aspects of it, and also, as it is brought before us there, the builder. Now, we read together of two people who were engaged in this way. Both were building houses. One built on sinking sand. The other, wise one built on solid rock, as we saw in Matthew chapter 7. Now both were building, and building their own individual houses, and both were building for eternity. And that is true of all of us too. Now how solemn a matter it is that year by year and day by day, and hour by hour, We are all engaged in building for eternity. And for the building, it is even more solemn that attached to it is this, that for it we shall all give an account, whether our building is good or bad, one way or another. We must all stand before the judgment seat of God, or Christ, and give account of what we have built, whether it is good or whether it is bad. All that we have done in the body, whether it is good or bad. Oh, that is certain, sure for every one of us. But what the question is, what does our activity appear like? If one was to come from another world, say, for example, an angel was to come and wonder, would he be astonished? Oh, no doubt he would be astonished at what he saw. We build bigger and better barns. We add to what we have and forget that we shall all stand before the great white throne and give an account of all that we have done. We forget that we will leave it all behind and one day stand before the great white throne to give account of our building. Now we are building as individuals, and as such, we shall have to give account. But looking at it, we are building on a site. It is on a site. Often when we build a house, we bring out a lease on the site. But the site we have for our building is leased to us in a far, far greater and deeper sense than we ever realize. Even of little time, the earth belongs unto the Lord and the fullness thereof. It says the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. Not 1,000 cattle, but the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. If I was hungry, I wouldn't ask for anything. All belong to the Lord. All is his. And above all, he is eternal. He is the Lord of all. If I can look at that in another direction, where are the generations before us? They are no longer here. They are not with us because they had to go. Their lease expired. And when our lease expires also, we also have to give it up. Even as did all those who were before us, we leave it all behind when the time expires. And God says, as we were singing together in Psalm 90 and verse 3, ye sons of men, return. And that is one summons we have to answer. No matter how much we may be loved in this world, when he calls, we answer. Return, we return. Now, in a way, the sight that God has given us is very wonderful, very attractive. In some ways, the world is a wonderful place. God created the world. All of it is the works of his hands. And of the creation, God himself said, it is good, when he had finished it. So that even on a day like this, even when the world is marred by sin, and when it is scarred by sin, the beauty of the creation still is astounding. We see a day like this when we see the snow all over. And then in a little time there'll be the wonder of the field laden with produce and the colours that come in the spring. The wonder of the stars above. Or the flowers that bloom for a little time and die. All these have moved the hearts and minds of men since they were created. The poet of Israel, the heavens, he said, declare God's glory. The skies, his hands were preached. How wonderful are his works, said the psalmist. The works of thine hands praise thee. The stars reveal his glory. All his works praise him. But although it is in a way attractive and wonderful, still a wilderness. Man fell, and sin entered the world, and thorns and briars came into it, and they still exist to this day. But beyond that, there came corruption and wickedness. And man fell to an enormous degree. The Bible tells us that even the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But my people, Israel, doth not know. My people do not consider. So a beautiful, but a wilderness. And yet what is important for us to remember is this is the only lease we have. This is the only lease we have. On this place we build, we have no other. This very spot is a site God gave us. Here we have to build. And this is the only place we have. And how solemn it is that here, in this very place, we build for eternity. Now, if the site of the site we have no choice, God in his mercy and providence provided for us the site. And we ought to be thankful. Oh, how thankful we ought to be for where he placed us and the good things that we have. Surely in many ways, as the psalmist could say, surely the lions have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Our lot is fallen in pleasant places. The psalmist could say that. We surely can say too. Parents who cared and prayed for us. Homes where prayers ascended for us to the throne of grace. A place where the gospel was preached, and where we have liberty to attend the means of grace and come and go free from molestation. How different it could have been if we had been brought up in places where the gospel has never been heard, where there was a religion like Mohammedanism, and where there was even atheism, and where there was heathenism. But how we should praise the Lord for what is goodness to us and what we have. And yet how solemn also to realize that as we have received much, all much shall be expected from us. And woe, woe, if these things which have been given us will at last rise up against us to condemn us. Woe unto us who have had such great privileges. Here then is the site. And concerning that we have no choice, but we have choice regarding what we build on that site. Now on that site, as we know, we build a foundation. Now anyone knows how important the foundation of a house is, but as far as eternity is concerned, all the multitudes who are today building their house upon the sand, because this concerns the foundation of one's life. Now, whether we call ourselves Christians or whether we call ourselves Calvinists or continuing, Free Church continuing, unless we are laying on the foundation by resting our souls upon Christ, then we are not on a true foundation. And Paul said, no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And that is the solid rock, the solid foundation, Christ alone, Christ only. The rest is nothing but sinking sand. That is the rock against which the gates of hell shall not prevail. Build then on Christ this your foundation. So there is a site and there's a foundation. And then on that foundation we build a superstructure. Foundation, we build a superstructure. Now the Bible tells us to be concerned with the foundation, but we are also told to be careful what we build on the foundation also. Every writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, remember writing verse 10, Paul said, let every man take heed how he build thereon. Now there are two kinds of superstructure. There is wood, hay and stubble. Or there is gold and silver and precious stones. In other words, we are building what has to last. A structure which is to be tried. We are told in the same place we are tried by fire. And it is only the fire that tests it. Now if our superstructure is of wood and hay and stubble, it's be utterly destroyed by God's purifying fire. It shall be revealed, we are told, by fire. But if your character, gold and silver and precious stones, built on the foundation of Christ and to the glory of Christ, when we come out of the fire, there shall be only more meat for the master's use. Our foundation then should be on the rock, the solid rock which is Christ, and on that rock we build our superstructure, which is our works, our conduct, our character, lifestyle, and so on. And all these things shall be tried by fire. But I want to look for a little on the builder. This also is important. Who builds the house? Because we are told, except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain who build it. Is it possible, you ask, for a man to build a house without God's help? Well, it is. And the text does not deny that fact. It simply says that he builds it all. He builds it in vain, that's all. Except the Lord do build a house, their labour in vain who build it. They can build it, but it's in vain. Now that was the mistake of the Pharisees. They tried to build on their own good works. They tried to build for them what they could do themselves. And that is the mistake of multitudes to this day. This and every other generation and every age, and their labour in vain. We can put that in another way. So many seek to reform their own lives. They seek to repair and patch up their character. They come more to church. They hear many sermons. But hearing sermons will never, ever save you. Some try to live as good as the person next door, the next person, to do their best. But remember, God is the wise master builder. God makes all things new. The Christian is a new creation. He is God's workmanship. Now God works among wrecks and outcasts and condemns, and he makes them new again. Now God works according to plan. He does his work according to plan, as he has eternally planned and eternally desired. He has the blueprint. It was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world was ever laid. And everything it does is according to his plan, according to his own will. He is unchanging and unchangeable. He never alters, never varies. And remember this, what he does forever. And God, what he does forever. Now the wonder of it all is that he took and made us living stones. So unworthy, so rough, and slowly, slowly, he rounds and smooths and sanctifies. If we are his people, he fits each one into its own place. The place which he has gone to before to prepare for us. As he said, I go to prepare a place for you. So day by day, we are built stone by stone. We see the glory of what he has done for us and what he will yet do for us. Now we build on Christ the foundation on our rock, with God the master builder working in us and for us. Now, obviously from this text, some do not build on the rock that is Christ. They build on uncertain, shifting sands. Now, the choice of site is not ours, but the choice of the building is. And some choose to build, as many did, as we read there in Matthew chapter 7, upon the sand. And that means their labour, and their labour in vain. Oh, their labour, their struggle, they have difficulties, their problems, their toil. But if without God, it is in vain. It is in vain. All other ways, all other efforts will end destruction. Now notice, it is not that they get something out of it. It's not that they get a little out of it. The fact is, all that labour is of no purpose whatsoever. In vain, the text tells us, their labour in vain. Now it is sad to work and labour and to spend a lifetime working out, hewing out for ourselves broken cisterns that hold no water when it's not required. How sad to labour and all that we have at the end is, it's all coming to one thing, vanity. Labour without God is in vain. Remember, whatever we are building and on whatever foundation, whether sand or rock, that God gives us by the lapse of time and by his providences, and very often at the expense of our fellow creatures, he gives us reminders that this is what is before us. For he says to us, set your house in order, for you shall surely die. That saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Though remember, that was the solemn message that the prophet Isaiah had, first of all, to a king. Even a king. Hezekiah was told in his sickness that to set his house in order, or thou shalt surely die and not live. Now, in God's mercy, this man who had a serious illness got 15 years added to his lifespan. But remember also, he only got 15 years. He had to die. Everyone has to die. That is appointed. Appointed unto all to die after death and judgment. And some without warning, as he got of 15 years, some without warning to prepare, and without this also, we have, about that, we have no choice also. When he summons, when he says, return, ye sons of men, that is one summons that we have to answer. And what shall be the use then? What shall the use be of all that has been our labour in this world, when we have to leave it all behind, when we have to go into the unknown and to face an unknown God, a God of whom we know nothing. But how different when we stand on Christ, the solid foundation which cannot be moved, against which the gates of hell cannot prevail. And we enter into that city whose builder and maker is God, and there to be forever with the Lord, to enjoy the pleasures that are forevermore at his right hand. And I close with a question. As we are all building for eternity, what is your choice this evening? What are you building on? Are you standing on sinking vanity? Are you building on sinking vanity? Are you building on the rock of ages? Unmoved and unmovable, save for all eternity, to enter into that house that the Father has prepared for us. In my Father's house are many mansions, to go there. Oh, that we had the conviction, that we had the conviction that without God all is in vain. If God be not with us, we shall surely fail. If we reject the builder, then at last the builder will reject us. All the need we have to consider as we journey on, that we are building, that we are building on a site, that we are building for eternity. And the site, as I said, in some ways is wonderful. All very good. His works, praise God. And it's been good in many ways, although there is thorns and briars and corruption and sin. The only sight we have, and God gave it to us. And we should thank God for the privileges that we have enjoyed all the years that we have enjoyed. On the day we were born, for many of us. But the site is a foundation. So either we built on Christ or on sand. And all the multitudes, even today, who are building on the sinking sand. But we have to build on the foundation, on that foundation. We have to build a superstructure. And the Bible tells us to care what you build on it. But we bless God that he is the wise master builder. He makes his people a new creation. He makes everything according to his own plan. Man builds, but it is in vain, without purpose, without benefit. Life's labor, a whole life of labor for vanity. Oh, that we would be wise, for we are so often reminded to set your house in order. As I said, one person got 15 years, but that was all. That was all. And many get called away without that warning. And as death finds us, as a tree falls, so shall it be. May the Lord help us to realize how solemn it is, the privilege that we enjoy, that as much will be expected of us, so that we put our trust in the Saviour, that it will be well for us when we are called to meet him, that we will meet with him with the white robes of Christ's righteousness, and so meet with him in peace. To that end, may the Lord bless to us these thoughts. Let us pray.